This is a taped interview with Ethel Yost of 2602 South Union, Apartment D210, Tacoma, Washington. This was done on August 13, 1976 by Ruth L. Wett, Tacoma Public Library. This is a taped original.
Why don't we start by getting your full name?
Well, my full name. My mother named me from her mother, and my father named me from his mother, and they didn't like either one of those names. So my mother had, when she was young, she was a nurse girl for an army captain and his wife, and they had two girls, and one of the girls' names was Ethel. And so they gave me that name. And so that's why I got a name. Well, mother's name was Lucinda. My mother's name was Agnes. And of course they put the Ethel in between. Lucinda Ethel Agnes Perry. That was my maiden name.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was related to Commodore Perry on Lake Erie.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. He was always very proud of that. Well, they came from St. Paul. They lived back there. And my father was a railroad man. And then he came to Ellensburg, located there in 1888. And my brother, he was older than I. He was born in St. Paul. And then they came out to Ellensburg, and my father, who still was a railroad man, he was a conductor of the freight trains, and then he was a conductor on the passenger. And we lived there for a good many years, and that's where I was born. And then 1900, why they came over here, and worked on the streetcars then we had, and then he worked on the bridges and little odd jobs, and he got hurt, and so he had to give it up. Well, he come home one day and he told my mother he's going to buy a butcher shop. And my mother said, "What are you going to buy a butcher shop? You don't know one piece of meat from the other." Well, he could learn. So he bought the butcher shop. And we lived there. He bought the property there on Six and Oaks. And it was one house, and it was set right in the center of the property. And then his butcher shop was down on about just 2809 Sixth Avenue. And the building is tore down now.
Mm-hmm.
And so he bought the butcher shop, and he had it for about 10 years. And my brother, was learning to be a meat cutter, so he worked in the shop. And then he was killed in an auto accident. But before, that was in 1910. And every Christmas and holiday, my father, they didn't have the chicken places that you could get the chickens, buy them, and they didn't have them in those days like they do now. A chicken, when you bought a chicken, you bought the whole chicken, head and legs and everything, and you get one for about 65 cents.
Oh dear.
And he used to buy chickens from all the neighbors around, you know, that, well, of course, this was kind of not a forest or anything like that, but people could have a cow and a horse and some chickens, and nobody complained. And even if the rooster did wake them up in the morning. But anyway, whenever they had a holiday, why my mother and my brother and I used to go down and have to help my dad, and he'd take the chicken and cut its throat and hang it up and let it bleed. And then we'd come along, and we had hot water in buckets. We'd just douse them down, you know, and mm-hmm. hot water and for just a minute or two, and then the feathers will come off. Boy, I used to keen more chickens, probably about 150 or 200 chickens before a holiday. And of course, that was our, what we had to do. We got in and we helped the folks. You know, we didn't do like the kids do nowadays. And then my dad had a horse and buggy that he used, or a horse and wagon that he used to drive, deliver meat with. And then when I was going to school, I used to have to get home from school just as quick as I could and get the basket on the front of my bicycle and go out and deliver the meat. And one time I was delivering meat up there on 6th Avenue, and they'd been making the sidewalk, and they hadn't finished it. And of course, I didn't know that, and I was riding along. All of a sudden, down I went, over, and spoilt the meat, tore the papers and everything. Had to pick it all up and take it back to the butcher shop. And I don't remember just what they did, but anyway, they wrapped them up in new paper and everything. And when the folks, when they came over from Ellensburg to Tacoma, my dad and mother were going to come, and my brother and I were going to come on the train. And then I think I took the measles, or took sick. And mother was, of course, it's not, well, it used to be quite a trip over from Ellensburg over here on the train. But anyway, mother didn't like to leave me on the train alone because they'd get sick, you know. So she came on the train with me, and my brother came with my dad, and he drove over in this one-horse buggy. And it took him 5 days to come from Ellensburg to here. Now you can make it in about an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of them make it before that, I don't know. But anyway, we were happy, you know, and there was always something to do. I remember where the Central Bank, or the People's Bank is now, that was a pond. Mildred Pollum will remember that. And we used to have rafts, you know, make rafts.
Uh-huh.
And have a long stick, you know, and go, oh, we played in that water. We didn't fall in or anything like the kids are these days. They're so adventurous. And then there on the corner, 6th and Pine, it used to be a J.W. Miller's, grocery store. And it's now a parking lot for Safeways. And he was there for quite a while. And then across the street from that, on Pine Street, was the old engine house, number 9. And it's up on, I think it's 6th and Adams now. And they had horses, three gray horses drew the engine, and two black ones pulled the hook and ladder. And just like Mildred said, whenever the the bell rang, everybody was out to see where the fire was. And my brother used to go down, he kind of liked the fellas, and he used to go down there nights sometimes and sit around and talk like they do, you know. And they at Christmas time, they'd always make shawls.
Mm-hmm.
And they made them on a frame. And oh, they were just awfully nice. He made 5 one year. And they had every morning, they'd have the fellas, two of them, would hit the horse or put a bridle on the horse, and they'd come out and come way down to oh, sometimes down to Prospect Street, and then turn and go back, exercising the horses, you know. And he took a picture of them, and I gave a picture. I found the film, and I gave a picture to Captain Moore, Earl Moore, and he passed away about 2 years ago. And so one day I was going, oh, this is here just lately. One day I was going up to Lucky's there on 6th and Union, and I thought, I wonder if those boys, I had an extra picture of the horses. And I wondered if the boys there would like them. I thought, well, I'll take it in and explain it to them, and if they don't want them, well, they can throw it away. I didn't like to throw it away. And so I had an awful time getting in to the door. I couldn't find the door to get in. Finally, one fellow came over, and he said to me, what do you want? And I said, well, I've got something here I'd like to give you boys. And, well, come on in. So I went in, and I told him about it. And, oh, one of the boys was just thrilled. And so they've got the picture of the whole five horses down there in the engine house. Well, then, let's see, there on 6th and Pine, there used to be a store, and it was E.A. Royce Drugstore. And in later years, they finally moved up to 6th and Anderson. And then the next store was a barber shop, and then... I forget what the next one was. Then my dad's meat market. Then across the alley from that was a Jones Bakery. And then there was another store there. It was a shoe store. And then on the corner where the Victory Ice Cream Victory store is, used to be a house there. And I think they moved that back on Anderson Street. And then they built that building. And then Mr. Royce, that had the drugstore down on Anderson, on Pine, he moved up on Anderson and had his store in there. And he was there for a long, long time. And then on the other corner where the Sun Drug Company is, that used to be a vacant lot. And... then that building was built, and I don't know what was in there first. I think it was the Sun Drug Company, or some drug company. Well, anyway, Sun Drug Company is in there. Oh, yes, I got a little bit ahead of my story, because in the block below, there used to be, on the alley above the Jones Bakery, there was a hall. They called it Gilbert Hall. And they had all the political meetings and the socials, and if you anybody wanted to have a meeting or anything, why, they'd all go to Gilbert Hall. Well, then it was quite a little while, and then first thing you know, the Sixth Avenue Baptist Church came there and opened up. They started there in that Gilbert Hall. And on Saturday morning, they used to have a sewing school for the youngsters. So I used to go to sewing school down there. And I used to go to the 6th Avenue Baptist Sewing School. And then I went over to the Epworth Church when it was on 12th and Pine. It's a house, not an apartment house now. I used to go to Sunday school there. Mm-hmm. And then I used to go to Sunday school down on Oak Street to the St. Andrew's Church. And that little church now is out on Bridgeport. Mm-hmm. So I finally ended up in my mother's church in the Presbyterian. But, there was so many things that, lots of things happened, nothing. Oh, next to the Sun Drug Company there was two houses, small houses. And there was a mother and her son lived there. And he's passed away now, but his name was Murtaugh, of the Murtaugh Breschen. And what do you call it, mops and everything, down there on 7th and Pacific, I think it is. But Frank has passed away. And then the house next to him on the alley, that the old Mr. and Mrs. Kloffenstein of the Kloffenstein clothing store used to be there. Hmm. And they had two boys and a girl. And of course, the old folks are gone. I don't know whether the oldest boy is still living or not, but the youngest boy, there was something about an accident with his death. I can't remember. And then we come on down to across the alley, and there was another house there. And the people by the name of Farr lived in it. He had a plumbing shop in the back. And then on the corner was a big vacant lot, and there was a lot of fruit trees there. And there's family back of it was the Shannons. And then across the alley from there, that was a big vacant lot. And then there was a house there. And that house, I can't remember whether that house was torn down or moved away, but there was a, that brick building was there. And the Masonic Temple, I think, built that, and a Warren Hall. And I think they, I don't know what they done with the house. Well, we had lots of stores along the way. We had bake shops and a cleaning shop. And then on the corner 6th and Prospect, we had Jonas Bakery, or Jonas Grocery Store. And we had a big shop along in there. And then across the street where the vacuum cleaner company is, that used to be the Hoyt Donut Company. And that there was a restaurant for a long time. And then right next door to it, used to make the donuts, and it was always quite a sight to see at night, see lots of people, men and women and children, walking up and down the avenue, you know, and they'd always end up at the donut place. And you could see Billy. I used to have a picture of him, but coming over here, I had to destroy a lot of pictures. And he'd stand in there with a stick, and there was a machine, and he'd grind it and it would let the donuts out, you know, and they stayed down just so long underneath the hot grease, and then it was time to turn them over. Well, he had a long stick, and he'd hit them, turn them over, you know. And I forget how many, I think there was 45 donuts in the pan, and it was kind of fun to watch them cook them, you know. And they made them for the World War I. Boy, they sold a lot of donuts. Oh, and then across the street, that's the theater. But I don't know what that thing is now, but we had a theater there for a long time and had lots of pictures. And every Monday night, I think they used to have Country Store, and they'd have tickets at the door, you know, and they'd give you a ticket and you'd put it in a box, and then they'd shake them all up and pull them out, and then they'd call out the tickets, and people that had the lucky ticket, why they'd get it. I remember one night, we went up there, and I won a canister set for flour and coffee and sugar and salt. and a big sack of groceries and something else. I forget now what it was. And when I went up to get my ticket, to get my prize, the fellas, one of my husband was there. And I said, yes, well, come on up. So Fred got up and went up there and he gave him a sack of potatoes. Lots of little things like that, you know. And then, then Farley's used to have a flower shop on 6th and Pine, where that liquor store is now.
Mm-hmm.
And they were there for quite a while. And then we had a Japanese, vegetable shop. He used to work in Rhodes Brothers when I worked there. I went to the Grant School, the Franklin School. No, I went to Franklin first, then the Grant, and then Bryant. And when the folks lived here and first came here, my dad was on the railroad, of course, and people didn't have telephones like they do now. And the railroad people had to be called by the fellow. They called him a call boy. Well, he wouldn't come above K Street.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't have a telephone, well, you had a great time to find out when you had to go out, you know. And the folks lived down on Yakima Avenue, 17th and Yakima. And it was a lot of stairs up in the back, but right on the front, the street, you went right in your home. And there was many stairs, and I was just a youngster. And I was falling down stairs all the time, so the folks had to move. And I met was it going straight? I forget now. I just forgot it now. Better shut that off. They moved. On every Saturday morning, Mother used to always do a lot of bacon and everything, and the postman, she'd always. And the paper boy and always got a donut or something to eat, you know, and well, especially the postman, he'd get some donuts. And so when we came here, I went over to, I had to go to the Franklin School, and my brother, in the morning, it was all right. He had to go to his room, and I was put in the, well, not exactly the primary, because it was a little bit older than that. But anyway, I got lonesome. And at noontime, after I ate my lunch, I looked all over for him. And of course, we weren't supposed to go in the boys' part, you know. And of course, I couldn't find him. Well, I was lonesome and I didn't know anybody. So I started home. And I got over here the Franklin School down here is on 12th Street. And between that and 6th Avenue, I got lost. And I don't know just where I was. But anyway, I was coming along. I was crying. And pretty soon the postman, he was delivering mail. He spotted me. And he come over and he wanted to know what was the matter. And I said, well, I was lost and I didn't know how to get home. So he said, well, I'll take you home, but he said, you'll have to go with me
mm-hmm.
to deliver the mail.
Mm-hmm.
So I delivered mail. And then he took me home because uh-huh. he knew who I was, you know. And so the next day I was a little bit braver and I didn't leave school. I stayed. But... I don't know. Let's see, what was I going to say now? You better shut that off. don't know. I used to go to all these different Sunday schools, but I finally ended up at in the Presbyterian, and that church was way up on Grant, and Sixth Avenue, and I went up there for a good many years and served in nearly all the offices in the Sunday school, and I played the piano for the primary department, and took an active part. And here a few years ago, I had to write a history about it. And I told the girls that I would write the story about it, but I wasn't going to tell it. And it was supposed to be told at church in the morning, just the same as a minister preaching, you know. Well, when I gave them the note, the paper, so I had quite a nice story about it. And they said, "You gotta tell it." Well, I said, "No, I'm not gonna tell it." And, "Oh, yes, you go on. You're the only one can do it now. You go on and do it." Well, I didn't like to have anything happen because the women were supposed to put on the program. So I stood up there in front of the congregation, and the butterflies were just flying around in my stomach. And I didn't know what in the world to say. I had a hold of the pulpit, you know, we have one standing there, and I had a hold of that, and I looked out at all the people, and I was just scared to death. This just happened a few years ago. And so finally I told them that I got a little bit of courage to talk. And I said that I'd been a member of the church for a good many years, and served in a lot of the offices and took part in a lot of the active work. And I sang in the choir and did so many things, but I never preached a sermon before. And I saw the people kind of smile a little bit, you know, and I thought, oh boy, they're on my side now. So I got out, I told it all, it worked out all right. Two or three of them came to me and wanted to know, "How in the world did you do it, Ethel?" And I said, "I don't know how I did it," I said. But I enjoyed doing those things. And we used to, at church, we used to have so many socials, and our mothers and fathers would play. We'd play Farmer in the Dell and Drop the Handkerchief and all things like that. We'd have a great big circle of our mothers and dads in there with us, you know. And sometimes they'd the handkerchief would drop behind them, and they'd have to act, you know, and be it. And we just had lots of fun. I remember one particular evening, I forget now what it was. We used to have socials on every day that holiday. And this one particular evening, we were going to have coffee and cake after the social. And we was having a good time and everything. And the cakes were in the kitchen. And there was nobody in there to watch them. And we played for quite a while, and finally ladies went out to make the coffee and cut the cakes, and they're all gone. Somebody broke into the church and stole all our cakes. So that's when we had the little brick church. And then, of course, we had in 22, I think it was 22, they tore the church down, and then they built this big one that we have now. And we had a nice tower on the church, and in one of the bad windstorms we had and earthquakes, I forget just what year it was, it knocked the top of the church, the towers, down on the sidewalk, you know, so they had to take them all off. So, and Sixth Avenue wasn't paved, and it was just wooden sidewalks for a long time. And then one time they were going to widen the street, And we were all scared to death for fear they'd do it. And if they did, they would have taken our house right off, our parlor right off, because they were going to widen it the same on our side of the street as it was out 6th Avenue, with taking that out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when they had those little tiny streetcars.
I feel thanked out. How old were you when you came to Tacoma?
About 8, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I want to get that down so we knew when you came. Now you were talking about all the chores that you used to help your family out with. I was curious if with your mother having to take care of the house, did she have running water, or?
Oh yes, we had running water.
Mm-hmm. So you had some.
And we cooked with the old wood stove. Then they got rid of that, and we had a wooden stove and a gas burner.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got rid of that and got the electric range. Yes, we had running water and most all utilities. You know, of course, we didn't have washing machines, things like that. You had to rub the dirty clothes on the board and a tub and we had on every Saturday night we always fed the butcher boy or the other meat cutter, and you could always figure from about September until long about May or probably April or May, every Saturday night he'd have dinner with us, and we had Boston baked beans, brown bread, and everything that went with it. That was our Saturday night, and baked potatoes, mm-hmm. and that was our Saturday dinner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my mother, of course, my father was away on the road most of the time, and she had the discipline of us, you know, my brother and I. My father never punished us, if you was a naughty girl, and mother said you were going to get a licking, well, you got the licking. But she'd always send us out in the woods. We lived right like here, you know, mm-hmm. in the woods like that,
mm-hmm.
in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd always send us out to the woods to get a willow stick. And we did some high jumping. We got that around our legs here. And you know how that smarts.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she never whipped us on or hit us any other place on our body. But we'd go out and get these switches and bring them in. And when she said she was going to give it, she'd give it. And we knew it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time, of course, I told her, I forget what I'd done. I guess she never whipped us unless we really needed it. And of course, we wasn't so awful bad. I don't think I ever was too bad a girl. But anyway, she said that she was going to give me this whipping, and I didn't. She whipped me a little bit too long, and I told her I was going to tell my daddy on her. And I got some extra ones for that. But she was a good mother. I'm very proud of her. She was a good Christian woman.
Well, it sounds like the families were a lot more involved with each other then.
Yeah, and I remember sometimes I was just a teenager, and my brother was older than I, and if he'd see me on the street talking to any of the kids, you know, and of course there were some bad ones in those days too. He'd speak to me if I happened to be out, you know. Well, he called me Toots. Well, hello, Toots. What are you doing? Or something like that. But when he'd get me by myself, if this kid that I was talking to, and he didn't like him, well, don't let me ever see you talk to him again, or I'll tell Mama. So he took pretty good care of his little sister.
Well, I was curious, you know, you're bringing up this, what, you know, socializing with boys when you're in high school or when you're older. Was there any kind of rules about dating boys, or did you date boys?
No. Yes, not till I was, I don't know just how old I was when I first went out. But we didn't seem to, well, of course there was some girls that got going with the fellows earlier, but I just don't remember when I started to.
Well, a lot of it then was socializing with the families. Would that be one of the ways you would?
Yes, I guess so, because when we go to these church parties, you know, of course the kids would bring us home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, and of course, just like in any other place, you have somebody in school that you like better than the other ones. I remember this Stanley Shaw, the Shaw Supply Company, he had a brother, Ernest, and I thought he was pretty nice. But I don't know whether he ever knew it or not.
Oh, you know, you mentioned that people in your area often kept chickens and cows. Did your family keep anything?
No, we didn't have any. Oh, we did have some chickens, but not when we had the butcher shop.
Mm-hmm.
We had some Rhode Island red chickens afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I've often wondered, we always thought the brown eggs were so much more to them than the white eggs, you know, they're tasty.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we always stuck to Rhode Island reds.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we kept, after my father sold the butcher shop, he sold it out the next week after my brother was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't go in there. Well, he kept the horse and buggy, so we had that for quite a while. And I remember once I had had a sick spell, and I hadn't started to work yet, and I wanted to go. I could take the horse and buggy and drive down to the municipal dock and give it to my dad, and then he could bring the horse and buggy back, and then I'd stay downtown or go to show or something, and then I come home in the streetcar. And this one particular day, I just couldn't get that bite or that bit in that horse's mouth. And you know, they can hold their head away back, and you can't pull that head down to save you if you ever tried to hit your horse. And it was getting pretty close to 3 o'clock. And I had to get going to catch my dad. And I just didn't know what to do to get that horse's bit so I could put her bridle on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of weak and after my sixth spell. So I went in the house. We had a telephone. I went in the house and I called up this Captain Moore down on the engine house number 9. And of course he knew me from a little youngster. And I asked him if he's supposed to put the bit on the horse's tongue or underneath the tongue. And of course he kind of laughed and he said, no, put it on the top, on the tongue. Well, I went back and I got a stool. I stood on that stool, and I just worked and worked till I almost cried. I was felt so bad, think I couldn't get that bridle on that horse. And because other times she'd put her head down, just let me hitch her up, you know, right away. Well, anyway, when I went down here a while back they had a party down in the old engine house for Captain Moore, and I didn't know whether to go or not. And then I thought, yes, I'm going down to see him. So I went down. When I got there, why, it was a tavern. I'd never been in a tavern, and this is just a few years ago. And I didn't want to go in there alone.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, well, I'm going in there because I want to see Captain Moore. So I went in. When I got in there, there was a lot of them sitting around at the tables. They were drinking beer and having a good time. And I looked around and I couldn't see him anyplace. Finally, I just stood there. Finally, there was a man came up to me, and he asked me if I was looking for somebody. And I said, yes, I'd like to see Captain Moore. Oh, he said, he's over there. So just about that time, Captain Moore recognized me. Of course, he hadn't seen me for a long time because he'd moved, was out of the service, and he'd moved away. And he come over and was so glad to see me. And he said he'd never forget me from the time that I called up and wanted to know about the horse's bit. Oh, dear. I sure had a... Well, I've enjoyed my life. I've taken in lots of tours. And, of course, when I was younger, I didn't go to school. I didn't graduate from Stadium because I was sick most of the time. And after 2 years. And my father wanted to know what I wanted to do. And so I had always liked to be a business woman. So I went to business college, took up a business course. And then I used to help him in the butcher shop with the books. And then I was just going to, I just got a job in the, some meat company down there on 70th and Jefferson, I forget the name of it. And I was just going to work on that, I think it was the next week after my brother was killed, but I had to give it up. So I stayed home with my mother because she took it so hard. Well, we all did, because it's a terrible shock to you to have someone in your family call them up and tell you that they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And he was out there. He was killed out near Fife, mm-hmm. on the old Tacoma Highway.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't paved then. They were putting in cement in some of the holes in the road, and they had piles of rocks around and sand and cement and stuff. And I think they were going 50 miles an hour. And they were in an Oldsmobile. And they struck this, it turned out of the road to pass an old milk truck. And when they turned out, he lost control of the steering wheel. And my brother never knew what killed him. So they call you up and tell you, and it's pretty tough when I see in the paper or people have to report about, it's a hard thing for the police to do. Of course, it's their work, and they do it, you know. But it's pretty tough. And it's pretty tough on the family, too, when they get word that way that they're gone. But all the terrible things that's happening these days, I think there's more so. And another thing I think, too, when we were young, went to school, went to dances. We go to a dance, The dance would always start about 9 o'clock. We'd go to that dance place, and we'd always have our dancing slippers and a bag, and carry our slippers in our bag, and then change our slippers when we get there. And we'd stay there. We wouldn't leave that hall. Now they go to 3 or 4, maybe more, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think that's, of course, that's my idea, that we younger folks had a better time then. And I think we were happier than they are today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know I never thought of doing the things that they do today. And I feel sorry for the young folks, you know. But at first I used to feel sorry for the hippies. And, the poor folks, they hadn't got a job and this and that, you know. But when we had a house next door to us, and I don't believe in the hippies getting help from the welfare. I don't believe in that. Let them get out and work. We had to work, and we only got $6 a week as a clerk. Now I guess they get about 50 or 55. And my dad said I didn't have to pay any board and room, but I had to pay my own expenses. And of course I lived at home, you know. But when I'd see them over at that house sitting there with their long hair, and the kids, fellas with the long hair and barefooted, and a bottle in one hand and a cigarette in the other, and then sometimes they'd pass a cigarette around to this one and that one, you know, and they'd all take a puff of it. When I saw that, I just made up my mind, well, I'm not sorry for you. Because we had 3 houses across the street from us there, and the Dean Drug Company owned them, and they rented them to hippies, and the police were there lots and lots of times. But can't do anything unless you find it, get it on them, you know. But one of the neighbors, dear old ladies, that I visit once in a while when I go over and have time to go and say hello to her, she said that it's a little bit better than it used to be. But Sixth Avenue used to be an awfully nice place to live. Nice people. And everything, and the merchants were nice. I know, of course, they don't do those things now, but I know when my brother was killed, my father still had the meat market. And they closed the stores for 2 hours during the funeral. And you don't see that today. And then every Friday afternoon, I used to hurry home from school and go with my dad down the one horse wagon down Pacific, down St. Helens Avenue to Broadway, down to 11th Street, and then go out over the 11th Street Bridge to the Carstein Packing Company. And there was some customers that liked special things that they're in there, like tripe, stomach of the cow, and they liked the brains and oxtails. Is there anything else or not? Oh, my dad had one lady that she was, I think she was anemic. And my dad used to get a bucket, a 5-pound lard bucket full of blood, cow's blood, or I guess it was cow's, and bring home to her every week. And she drank that blood. I don't know how long she lived because forgot all about it, but he used to get that. Well, I used to go with him, and then I'd go into the packing house and see him take the rams walk up the drive or the little trough, you know, and the sheep follow in, and he'd go up this way, and the sheep would go on that way, get their throats cut. I went to Chicago once, and my cousin back there took me. She said, "Ethel, where do you want to go?" And I said, "Well, it's a funny place to go, but I said, I'd like to go. I'd like to go through the packing house." And so she did. She took me. And fellas, and blood clear up to here. But that's what I wanted to see. Of course, I like scenery too, but there's lots of other things I don't care anything about.
Mm-hmm.
But these people, some of these people that used to get this tripe and things, packing company or the meat company wouldn't deliver them on the truck. So that's why my dad used to have to go and get them. And well, we used to have lots of people down there on Prospect Hill and people that, well, they were, well, they liked things, you know, English people and people that had money.
Mm-hmm.
And like to put on a good feed. And they like those things. Of course, I don't know about you, but I don't like brains. I don't think I could eat them. Maybe you could. But all the thoughts of them.
Mm-hmm.
Same way with me. Now, I don't like fish. I'll cook fish. I used to cook fish for my husband. But because he loved to fish, but I don't care for it. My mother was poisoned once, and that's one thing that my dad did. He took my mother went down to visit, and my dad picked her up on the way home, and boy, we nearly lost her. She'd had some fish the day before. She cooked it and she ate it for lunch, and of course we had eaten it. It was salmon. And we had it given to us. And it was caught out near the smelter. And the doctor said it was a lot of that ore that's in the water, that they have smelter, you know, that they're a refinery.
Mm-hmm.
And we told him about what Mother did, and anyway, it poisoned her. We nearly lost her. And then another thing, two or three times I've gotten fish bones in my mouth. And I don't care for her.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to cook it for my husband. He liked it. Mm-hmm. He loved to fish.